Thank you.
Well, I wasn't going to read. My name is Charlie Bryce. I don't think this is working. This thing is coming at me. But Jimmy brought up Hillary Clinton and said there must be a poem in there, and I just happen to have one that was published by Vox Populi a while ago by Michael Sims. It's called Solium. Having doubts about why you are alive, why things happen as they do, why religious fanatics burn people alive, take off heads, shoot unarmed cartoonists, destroy ageless artworks, hang gay people because they love one another, tell Palestinians they can't live in their own country, decide that all Jews must die, that women should obey men because they aren't men, and that they cannot control their own bodies, that if you don't believe in Jesus, you can't get to heaven, that children who haven't had a chance to do anything wrong enact God's will by dying of cancer or any other number of horrible diseases, preach that God is all-powerful and then pray to him for help with all the horrible things he must have caused in the first place, have a persistent conviction that it's all a huge mysterium tremendum. Looks like you need Solium. 5 milligrams of Solium taken twice a day wipes all religious and external existential doubts away. Don't take Solium if you are allergic to excessive happiness or mindless euphoria. Some people taking Solium have experienced immediate alcoholism, heroin use, or cravings for methamphetamines. Common side effects include an inability to stop watching CNN, extreme interest in issues and events that have no real importance, such as what email server Hillary Clinton uses, or whether the President of the United States was born in the United States. Stop using Solium immediately if you attain an erection that talks. Call your doctor right away if it recites anything from a Beckett play or a Bukowski poem. Don't take Solium if you already have a soul, as doing so may cause a dangerous drug reaction. Thank you.
I don't know what you just said, but what is he's the author of what? Come over here and say. Come on. You're the author of. There you go. All right. Good enough, Charlie. I'll make sure I pick one up this week. Angela Cornett. Cornelius, where you at? Oh, Angie, I was hunting for you. You disappeared on me, Angie. Go ahead.
I do have a disappearing habit. Hey, everybody. And everybody's over here, except for, you know, a couple of odd. Well, oh, good night. All right, so I'm just reading one poem. I wrote this a while ago, but just something that sticks with me. The walls in our house were full of holes, punched, kicked, smashed, shaped silhouettes, crushed fragments of family, thrown into a plaster mold, exposed the wooden stud, electric wire, and water pipe. The walls skeleton bare, the surface damage in need of repair, left a gaping memento of who's the boss, the man of the house, beat us kids into the wall. One face at a time became a hole.
Angela, thank you. That was a short poem. You want to come back and read another short one? All right, Angie, thank you, buddy. Scott, where you at? Scott Silsby.
That's fine. Thanks. Pale blue dot. In the backyard, the neighbor's crabapple trees dip over the fence, leaving the little bullets that are used for the attacks of the children on the other children. In spring, they hit tennis balls up over the garage with aluminum bats, doing their impressions of ball players they've seen on television. They call out their names, mimic their stances, make up imaginary ball games with imaginary runners and counts, innings of statistics that'll never see paper, will never be recorded. The pitcher calls time and pisses in the one corner of the backyard. They play until the sun lowers and they can't see the ball anymore. They bike down to the dead end of the street where lightning bugs are putting on a show in the field behind the street in the creek, too many to count, blinking, flashing over the darkness like stars. Beyond them, an unknown universe, and something barely visible through the trees on the other side of the creek, the next town over. Thanks.
Thank you, Scotty. Linda McDonald, where you at, Linda?
I'm so excited to read this poem. It's my favorite one I've written for a long time. I made the people that I worked with didn't like me, and they thought I was lying about writing. After I read it, or wrote this, I made them read it. But so I don't know if they still think I'm lying. Okay. This is called Flagellum. My husband fell in love with a woman, and I stopped shaving my legs and under my arms because I stopped everything for a while. Even a shower seemed too difficult to organize, let alone reading a novel or arriving to work on time. In my own place, far off from the fulcrum of our household, my new crop of hair became like a secret husband tucked up under my arms, and he comforted me somehow. When I was afraid, I just lifted my arm, and stringy long hair flamed open like those paper fans with two popsicle sticks handles that rotate full circle into a puffy round fan. My underarm hair was like that fan when I lifted my arm. The hair, free from the weight of my flesh, reached like tentacles towards the light. The hair on my legs made my legs appear more sturdy, more manly, making me instantly more capable and somehow less alone. Once I had been a sleek and hairless girl. When my husband preferred the salty taste of another woman, it felt like the opposite of a punch or a slap, where everything beneath the skin becomes lava and electricity and somehow also a deep cave of nothingness. With this blow, I became only skin, the inflatable balloon tube man waving his empty arms, bowing and collapsing and struggling to lift back up in time to catch the eye of someone who might be interested in purchasing a car or renting a boat or attending the grand opening of a convenience store, reaching every direction like the hair under my arms reached on those days when I had strength enough to run a brush through my hair.